Hi, this is Sharon Wolf with the 11th segment in our ongoing series related to Alzheimer's and the treatment of vulnerable adults by the Humboldt County Superior Court, Probate Division. This is an issue of widespread public concern due to the abuses within the system that impact every resident and anyone that they care about. That's why, as members of the local press, as well as impacted family members, we will continue to publish the public records and broadcast the abuses within the system as a public service to the community. The segments are all available on SoundCloud or at theriodeltimes.com, along with my notated copies of the public records from the conservatorship case that I filed for my mom, Barbara, who has Alzheimer's. We are also working on video segments of the series so we can walk through the paperwork that I've been talking about. The fraud is blatant to anyone who cares to look. But unfortunately, the Humboldt County Courthouse continues to play the see no evil, hear no evil game, since there is a prominent local crony attorney involved. Threats of injunctions against the press by attorneys who aren't used to getting called out for their actions will continue to be published at our website and subsequently ignored. Truth is the defense, and the evidence of fraud is the paperwork submitted to the court under penalty of perjury by attorney Chris Johnson Hamer, senior partner at Stokes, Hamer, Kirk, and Eads out of Arcata. Not to mention, any action would give us the forum to review the documentation in excruciating detail. You can't run away from your own paperwork, attorney Hamer. More on that in a minute. But first, there was a probate court hearing on July 21st to confirm the sale of the house in Fortuna. It was always a foregone conclusion that Mom and Ron's house would have to be sold in order to pay for the level of long-term care that they both need. My stepdad Ron has probable Parkinson's disease with related paranoid dementia, according to the only assessment that has ever been done to date. I attended the hearing in person, and before they got to calling our case, another family appeared in front of Judge Canning. I don't know the situation with the family, but it was clear that they didn't have an attorney, like most of us, and there was no help for them with the paperwork that they needed. According to what the judge said, a family member had submitted a petition that was rejected by the court for some reason. The judge said that they had done something wrong or they had missed something with the packet of papers that it takes to do any kind of a petition in the court. The family member said they had tried to get help through the self-help center as they were directed, but there was no help available there. They said the self-help center told her that they didn't do anything with probate matters, so they weren't able to help. I have not verified if that's true about probate matters, but it is true that the self-help center says to allow 7 to 10 days to get a return phone call if you need help, according to their voicemail. That's just to get a call back. The self-help center is a great resource to have if you can access them, and you used to be able to go to law clinics as well, which can be really helpful, but none of that is practically available to people these days. There were multiple family members there that all supported the one who had filed the petition by the sounds of it. They simply needed to file the correct paperwork. Judge Canning told them to get an attorney. And that's a very simple answer that isn't even remotely possible for the majority of people, as the court knows. If the estate in question isn't worth enough money to get the interest of an attorney since they can build the estate, then the family is just out of luck. But if the estate is worth enough money to get an attorney interested, then you should also be very worried, as we have learned. So the court rejected this family's petition as being incorrect, didn't seem to offer any guidance on how to make it correct, and simply told them to go find an attorney if they couldn't get any legal aid group to help. Contrast that with how the court, in fact the same judge, has willingly and knowingly accepted blatantly fraudulent documents from attorney Hamer. It's a night and day difference. No questions asked for cronies, no matter what. Even when the fraud is brought up in every document I filed and in every hearing, the judge sitting on that bench simply ignores it. I told you about the amazing hearing on July 14th with Judge Killoran in the last segment. The July 21st hearing, however, was before Judge Canning, who is also the same judge who issued the ruling in Mom and Ron's cases. This hearing was only to confirm the sale of their home for $489,000 all cash. I never objected to the sale of the house, even though I could have just because. But I don't have the time or the interest in playing games here. But I took the opportunity before Judge Canning to ask him why he ignored all of the court investigators' recommendations in Mom and Ron's cases and did the exact opposite. I asked why the public defender was never assigned to the cases until months after he issued the ruling, even though it's required by law. I asked Judge Canning why he ignored Mom and Ron's wills and trust documents, plus the capacity declaration that I filed for Mom that her doctor in Fortuna had completed. I asked why he accepted the fraudulent capacity declaration and legal nomination documents that Attorney Hamer filed without question. Literally without question. I have never been able to get the court to ask Attorney Hamer to address those papers. And you'd think she'd want the opportunity to clear up any misperceptions about her filed paperwork. Anyway, Judge Canning simply said those matters weren't before him, so he couldn't address it. He also said I could file a motion for reconsideration if I wanted to. As the non-lawyer in the room, I guess that I could have pointed out that a motion for reconsideration must be based on new facts not available to the judge prior to making the ruling. You can't file it simply because the judge knowingly and willfully ignored all of the documentation that was in the case file for some undisclosed reason. That would be an appeal, and that really does require an attorney at that level. Or it would require me retiring in order to focus on writing an appeal. I have been entirely invisible in the court system so far since I am not an attorney. There hasn't been a single piece of paper that I filed with this court that was looked at, let alone considered by the judge. So no, I don't think I'm going to be taking an early retirement. I was floored when Judge Canning said I could file a motion for reconsideration or an appeal. I said that I had filed a forest full of paperwork to the court long before any ruling was issued, and all of it was ignored. Especially the paperwork that Mom and Ron had created years ago to designate who they want helping them and administering their estate. All of that was ignored by the court. I asked Judge Canning why his ruling didn't mention the fact that he was going against the court investigators' recommendations and against the documented wishes of Mom and Ron. There was no explanation in his ruling for why he did what he did by giving the conservatorship of my mom to the previously unknown nephew of Mom's fifth husband, or why he accepted the fraudulent paperwork as the controlling documents. He wasn't going to give an answer, and I didn't honestly expect that he would, but I got the chance to ask him face to face and on the record. We are getting the transcripts for all of the hearings. They're amazing. And numerous court staff and attorneys who work in the courthouse every day were there on Zoom to witness it all. I'm still ignored, but we're going to keep making it increasingly difficult to ignore the fraud by publicizing it far and wide. That's our public service to the community, just like we've been doing in Rio Del since we began the RioDelTimes.com in 2005. One last update for those that are following the series. We have talked repeatedly about the fact that the care facility, The Pines, a Merrill Gardens community in Rockland, has refused to allow any member of Mom's family into the memory care unit for visits. The family had been blocked from visiting entirely when they were first placed there from August 26, 2021 on. We got the long-term care ombudsman office involved, and eventually the facility started to allow us to visit, but only supervised out in their front lobby. The last segment talked about the latest efforts to block Mom's family from seeing her by insisting that we ask permission from the conservator's mother for some reason. It is really nutty. Anyway, the ombudsman talked to the facility again, and now there is a private room that our family can ask for in order to visit with Mom. I don't know if they just built this room or if they simply forgot about its existence for the last year and failed to mention it. But that's what we're told now, so we will try that and see how it goes. And I'll let you know. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to check out the other segments from this series, as well as the notated public records posted at the RioDelTimes.com. As Attorney Hamer noted, we update our site almost daily. This has been Sharon Wolf reporting.